mayor, everything there on paper, in terms of pedigree, said 1.25 miles was going to be terrific for him. How much more could you want in a pedigree? And yet, coming out of the Derby, it really was the first question asked, literally. Because seconds after the race, Ian Wilkes, I saw in the runway, the first thing he said was, maybe he doesn't want 1.25 miles. But Ian is, you know, is reoriented in terms of confidence, and McCracken for the Withams, who have certainly had success at Saratoga over the years. Brian Hernandez Jr., of course, the only afternoon rider McCracken's ever had. 12-1 gets you to IRAP in the 10 hole. Mario Gutierrez, Redham Racing. You can't run a sophomore stake anywhere in the country without Doug O'Neill and Paul Redham. The Tisnow Colt is on a roll, and you can't deny it. After the Bluegrass upset, came into the Derby, and physically, I absolutely impressed everybody that laid eyes on him. And then did not really run to the long shot look in terms of potential that everyone, including myself, I thought, I expected him to acquit himself well. Ended up 18th. Then immediately turned around and has not only won the Ohio Derby and the Indiana Derby, he's set up opportunities for the horses that chase them to then turn around and win their own top-level three-year-old races. Gervin, second to him in the Ohio Derby, wins the Haskell. Colonel's Dark Temper, second to him in the Indiana Derby, and then wins the West Virginia Derby. So he's been flattered on top of his own prowesses that were on display at Thistledown and Indiana Grand. IRAP, 8-1. Mario Gutierrez. And I don't know if it's true, but I suppose there's a chance that Mario Gutierrez has pajamas that are purple and white. Because that's all you do is see him in the only image you can conjure of Mario Gutierrez is in those white and purple blocks of Paul Redham. Right? I mean, if there is one rider synonymous with an outfit, with an owner, it's Gutierrez and Redham. Gunavera, and I don't care what Andy said yesterday, and he can scoff and make fun of me all he wants. I will reiterate that fans of Gunavera, and I know that Seth Merrow, who was with us last night on Night School, he was a Gunavera fan. And I know that he'll at least have a Sabre ticket or two. I know that Calder is no longer, you know, in terms of the heavy nature and the slow nature, I know it's not as tight as it used to be. That point's been made. But Gunavera, 58-4, going 5/8 at Calder, 59-3 before that, 1 minute flat before that. Those are times at Calder that are unheard of. I mean, if it's even a shadow in terms of that surface, he's working up a storm. And I will reiterate, I mean, as somebody that, you know, that goes back on past performances to races that are going to be good enough to win in another setting, that Fountain of Youth, if you're looking for a race, NPPs that will be good enough to win Saturday, that effort, if it can be duplicated and even potentially improved upon at a mile and a quarter, this is a dialed in out of an unbridled mare. Gunavera, to me, in terms of the big double-digit prices, he's the double-digit price that I know I'm going to have a little something Edgard Zayas, of course, 20-1. And then Fayek. You know, I riffed yesterday about Lotta Kim and the Rachel Alexandra clan. That has written an amazing legacy at Saratoga Racecourse. A Travers potentially for the ages and the aged. Just getting going, a ton to do. Stay with us. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
With Naira Bet, you can play hundreds of tracks from anywhere, at any time, using your computer or mobile device. Players earn points on bets and build their bankroll with exclusive promotions. Sign up at NairaBets.com. Enter promo code BYK200. Bet 200 and get 200. That's NairaBets.com. Promo code BYK200. Naira Bets, racing's best play.
If your horse is nervous or tends to tie up when it's racing, training, or shipping, then Unlock is the nutraceutical for you. The scientifically proven number one selling pre-race paste and daily feed powder. See for yourself why top horsemen worldwide choose Unlock. And coming soon, HemoGuard, the most advanced anti-bleeder ever. For inquiries and a no-risk trial, contact Joseph Vellante at 215-501-6880 or visit horseunlock.com.
The thunder of galloping hooves grows louder than a hush as thoroughbreds take flight. This is American steeplechasing, the sport where horses fly. American steeplechasing has a glorious history and a long tradition of great jump racing at Saratoga Racecourse. Discover the excitement of American steeplechasing at Saratoga every week. Visit our website, nationalsteeplechase.com, to explore American steeplechasing, the sport where horses fly.
How great are the Pennsylvania breds? They're winning graded stakes from New York to Kentucky to California. And how great is the PA Bred Program? North America's most lucrative awards program has up to 40% in breeder awards and owner bonuses, 400-plus restricted races, and we've paid $30 million in total PA Bred awards each of the past 5 years. This is Brian Sanfratello. To learn more, please visit us at PABred.com.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Back at the races. Pete Fornatale is going to join us shortly, and before he does, let me set up the rest of the morning. It'll include a visit from Sid Fernando, of course, top of the hour. We'll talk the Travers Field, some pedigree conversation, as always, the Sire Watch Pedigree Focus brought to you by Hill and Dale. And at 10:30, an important conversation with Alan Foreman. And you may have seen already this morning the volley from yesterday's news out of Kentucky, where, to his absolute credit, Graham Motion has successfully fought the penalties that were associated with the methocarbamol overage after she won the Bewitch in 2015. And Motion has taken this at every, you know, every step as far as he could. And thank goodness that this came via Graham, because he and George Strawbridge, they had the wherewithal and the fortitude to fight this to the to this conclusion. And what's important about this is, and Graham has explained it extensively. I mean, you can
Sports Zone 964 if you're listening to SiriusXM Online, and at our website, stevebick.com. Opening day yesterday at Belmont, it wasn't necessarily a tote bonanza, mutual bonanza for long shot players. That's okay. That's a focused in on winners. That's all that counted. And, well, frankly, Nick Tamro with his analysis, Nick tabs the first four winners of the meet, then the second choice gets the anchor leg of the early pick five and the early pick four, and then a couple more later, and it's straightforward, I guess, is the way to characterize day one. But it just was nice. I mean, to know that we're that much closer to having, you know, the complete middle of the year lineup, and over the next 72 hours, give or take, what's today? Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Yeah, the next 72 hours. Tomorrow, Evangeline. Saturday, Woodbine and Louisiana Downs. So at that point, more than half of the, way more than half actually, of the racetracks that are supposed to be running at this time of year will be running. Delta will get their quarter horse meet going next week. Canterbury next week. Indiana a week from Monday. Prairie Meadows a week from Wednesday, 17th. Emerald on the 20th, Belmont Day. And that really takes you to, the late spring, early summer ovals. And we'll keep talking about them and getting you set up for them like we did yesterday with Dave Bassler. That was fun. And it's good to get Dave on the show. I see him at HBPA gatherings and in Kentucky at some big days as well. And he's got those early fires. Forearms. it was great. And today, that at some point, we'll take a minute and look at that Mike Rowland today. And by the way, 16 years Mike's been gone. And so on everybody's mind today for the Mike Rowland. And let's take a quick glance while we're right into the action from yesterday. The stake, of course, the highlight, and Rushing Fall. What a nice comeback for her, and a great way to start her five-year-old season. The More Than Ready mare, another product you might have forgotten of the Fred Hertrick, John Fielding breeding factory. Unbelievable. And she, out of the forestry mare, Autumnal, gives Bob Edwards, I'm sure, a real real pleasing way to start the season. And she set the pace. Javier Castellano wasting little time taking over and with authority. Got Stormy was... It's hard to say. There's a debate, actually, that went on yesterday after the race. A little bit of a debate about whether she was chasing, as Andy and I talked about on Tuesday, excuse me, or was she under some restraint from Tyler Gaffione? Maybe a little bit of both. And yeah, it's funny because when they came on the turn, it kind of looked like she was ready to pounce, and then Rushing Fall kind of powered away, and coming late was Christophe Clement with Call Me Love. We'll see what goes on with this See the Stars filly, last seen November in Italy, winning the Group 2, the Tessio, the Lydia Tessio, at Campanile, and passing out, gets up for third in the Grade 3 Bogey, and got Stormy, beaten about five lengths, and ends up off the board in here. Rushing Fall took the money, too. It was 4-5. The rest of the highlights, I suppose the two-year-old race. And here's another win early performance by a Violence. This a Buck Pond Farm bred Prisoner, beats Fauci, and went to the front, sort of like those old Pletcher two-year-olds of old, went to the front and just kept extending the lead. Five furlong winner, Mike Rapoli, paid $175,000 at the OBS March sale. And, of course, things are continuing at this hour, in fact, at OBS. Day 5 of 7, two more days after this, the Friday and Saturday Bree shows, and then a nice pause Sunday, Monday, before they start to knock them down under gavel at Ocala, and we'll get a glance there too. But this is a Violence Colt out of an en-suite mare. Was down at Palm Beach Downs and basically came up literally in the last several days. But it fired a couple of bullets at Palm Beach Downs. Prisoner, early winner in New York, first two-year-old race of the season. That certainly kind of put a nice lift, I think, to everybody that is trying to get their two-year-olds, whether they're homebreds or whether you bought one or getting ready to buy one. Beyond that, in addition to the stake win, that was for Bob Edwards, but for Seth Klarman, value proposition in that eighth race, that was a good group, and there was plenty of trips in here. We talked, of course, the other day with Ryan Flanders, with the Trip Notes Pros, and there's going to be some trips out of this, including Arthur Kitt, who we were trying to make at 8-1, got bet down to 4-1, was taking money, which felt like a value proposition gone wrong. It seemed like he took way more money than you expected anyway, and had all kinds of trouble from early on. And you also, of course, had the situation involving Hidden Scroll, who went to his nose and sent Johnny Velasquez into the air like a champagne cork. It was unbelievable. Hidden Scroll is just, you want to talk about a, you want to, I don't, what do you say? Star-crossed? I don't know. I don't know what the appropriate moniker is, but I'm sure that they will regroup, the Mott team, the Judmont hard-spun colt. He'll get another try, and he actually went flying. He wanted to be involved, and no harm done overall. But never great to have a loose horse running through the field, and especially where he was early on. So that worked out okay, though. And Value Proposition ends up, and actually you've ended up with a decent, 9-2 on him. You know, it's funny. Hidden Scroll went off favored 3-1, and then Arthur Kitt ended up second choice. Value Proposition was 9-2, and then up to call it 11-2 for Cross Border, who ran well, and a couple different points looked like Gaffleone would, would kind of surge to the front. He never really surged. He just kind of went evenly. The Maker Three Diamonds runner, and speaking of Maker, claimed Hey Dakota out of this race. I mentioned yesterday that Hey Dakota, or in my own write-up, that Hey Dakota was in for the tag, having cleared this condition easily, the seven-year-old, and first start out of the Kelly Breen barn for Mr. Amori, and gets swiped. This is such a classic Maker Michael Way claim. You know, a veteran horse that that Maker will work with. Obviously, Hey Dakota yesterday, in terms of a fig, a 95 buyer. His typical, all eyes are on these service horses coming back. And, so far what we've seen, they seem to be running basically what they ran when, the last time they... Especially what's his name, the Terp Sprinter, who just refuses to win, who just wants to finish second over and over. But Hey Dakota, we talked to Michael Way earlier in the spring, and he talked about this concept, paying, and this is a 7 year old though. This isn't like a 4 or 5 year old that you kind of project. And of course, Maker has made a habit of taking particularly, horses that had been, solid but seemingly underperforming on dirt in routes, and turning them into turf competitors, including plenty of stake winners for the, for owners like Michael Way and the Wyckoffs, etc. So we'll watch for Hey Dakota. I've been a fan of his. This was start 38. He ended up beating what? A length and a half for fourth. He was coming under Eric Cancel. Dream Friend ran well, evenly third, beating a length and change. And that that was kind of the day, right? I mean, it was Medita, the German mare that won for our friends the Friedbergs. We're wearing the Everything's Cricket Silks, partnered with Team Valor, and first win in North America, came over last summer. She's by Soldier Hollow, and Arno Delacour sent out Medita, and Errat Ortiz, of course, who had a very nice day. And speaking of nice days, Jorge Duarte with two wins. There was the New York Bred Maiden winner, and the and sort of the the New York-centric call for Johnny I. Stronger Than You Know, bred by Robert Hahn, and a purchase by Santulli, Colt's Neck. Stronger Than You Know, powered home, and kind of a canter late to start off at the first Empire Six. And then later, Duarte in the nightcap. You had the easy winner in the loop. One actually very similar kind of fashion, kind of eased up late, but in the loop in that 16 claimer. And actually, Duarte and Santulli bring the maiden winner home because nobody claimed in the loop a Super Saver bred by Stone Street. And... was a $150,000 purchase, and actually had I should look up his fig, because he actually had run you know, some nice races over the winter. He's got a late start to his career. I mean, this feels like this was a horse that might have been cut out to be okay in the loop. Last seen at Monmouth in September, but it broke the maiden at first asking with an 81 buyer. That was at Gulfstream in February of last year. And then the Hutchison, tried the Hutchison, was beaten five lengths by Gladiator King. Gladiator King. And so might just be a useful type. Same time, as we said with Nick Tamro, or with Mike Beer yesterday. That was with Nick, I think. On Tuesday, the kind of horse that, you know, an operation like Colt's Neck kind of wants to clear a stall. But, you know, don't be surprised if you see this one turn up in a, you know, non-winners of three, you know, or something like that. There, or just in a straight 25 claimer. But that ended the sequence, the pick five and pick four. I mean, we're a little short. And by the way, for those that didn't see what happened in the early pick five, we should mention there was the scratches. And let me see if I've got to. I have the chart. I might not have that chart, actually. They were saving the MTOs. And there was rain. I mean, rain did come. It was not nearly as problematic as feared. But what it did do was leave some MTOs in so that when they got scratched after the sequence was underway, people got the winning favorite in that spot, which was Stronger Than You Know. So it really depressed. It really took the starch out of that first pick five. The will pay was showing 400 and change, and it ended up paying 161 because of that that distribution. So that's the explanation. So a fun day, and things got going, and continue today. I'm sure we'll hit on a couple of these spots. Rich Eng will be with us at the end of the day. No Haskin today because, of course, we moved Steve up. He's in the car. I don't know if Steve's got the, if he's got the radio. Instead, we've got some contest conversation, and in fact, Tyler Hoffman is going to join us. Tyler qualified online, usually seen at Santa Anita qualifying, but he has adjusted to the circumstances, and as a result, gets a NHCC punched for next February. We're going to talk to Tyler about his contest play. We'll go over everything going on leading up into the weekend. And speaking of, by the way, speaking of contests on site, want to reach out to Brandon Lee at Lone Star because they are going to have an on-site contest. And that's on June 27th. So coming up 2 weeks from, well, 3 weeks, I should say, from Saturday. So we'll find out. We're going to get the details of how they're working it. If they're doing it with restrictions and limited seats, or how it's going to work. All right, but we'll get those details. There's also, speaking of which, and I'll repeat it again when joined by Tyler. First. I can't say post-pandemic, but certainly the first free contest for NHC, three seats this weekend, and we'll get you all the details. NTRA offering up the free contest, usually about 2,500 players, and you got to really get lucky. The good news is you're going to have some nice racing to, you know, to really look at, and we'll see, you know, what kind of a card they craft for the free contest. But when you're talking about Belmont and Santa Anita on Saturday, the graded stake sequence that was drawn yesterday, highlighted by the Carter, I put out that Carter field. It was tremendous, and 11 of them. They actually had to take two passes at it. There was one horse that got kind of cross-referenced in both of the stakes, and so that kind of delayed things. And one of the funny parts of that is that Firenze Fire in the first draw, Firenze Fire drew the rail. And, you know, as we talked with Mike Beer yesterday, you can watch the draw on Zoom. So when they drew it the first time and Firenze Fire, Manny Franco draws the rail, and Angel Cordero, who is, you know, representing Manny, Angel, God damn it, you get the rail. I haven't seen a lot of these Zoom things, and it really made me laugh. I mean, and then they redraw, and he gets the rail again. It was pretty funny. And the second time, I didn't hear Angel swear or get annoyed. But the field in the Carter, the ninth race on Saturday, in a very nice 11 race card. There's a, you know, four graded stake sequence here that starts with the Ford Marcy and then the Westchester, the Intercontinental and the Carter. And the Carter, nothing but, you know, top flight contenders. Firenze Fire, performer for Shug and the Phippses, with Rosario still having fun. Tim Keefe, who of course we've talked to recently, Adam Wachtel, owner, and Dylan Davis aboard. Jose Ortiz will ride Nitrous for Ron Winchell and Steve Asmussen. And, of course, Toby Sheets handling the Asmussen barn in New York. Network Effect for Chad and Seth Klarman. Rat Ortiz. Midnight Charlie, the Uptown Charlie Brown stud, Eddie Coletti. And, you know, it's unbelievable. Uptown Charlie Brown has gotten, and this is one of his nice runners, he's gotten from a limited sample, he's gotten a lot of nice horses. American Anthem for Danny Gargan and Kendra Carmouche aboard. Bon Raison for Flying P, Dave Canizzo and Eric Cancel. Majestic Dunhill, Ray Lugatieres for Randy Hill and George Weaver. Mind Control, who is the Chris Carter of Thoroughbreds, just wins and just scores touchdowns. Mind Control, Johnny V for the Brunetti family and Greg Sacco, and he's been a terror in New York. And then Vekoma, George Weaver with a pair in the grade one, Andy Serling Carter. No, it's the run happy Carter. But Vekoma with Javier for Matt Gatsis. And there's your grade one Carter. I mean, all of the races came up really good. You got 12 in the Intercontinental. Those are the fillies and mares going 7/8. On the Widener, nice group in there. Newspaper of Record involved, and how about Significant Form as well? I think Chad's got three, right? He's got four. Viadera. He's got Newspaper of Record, Regal Glory for Paul Pompa, and Significant Form for Stephanie Seymour Brandt on the outside. Field of 12 in the Intercontinental. The Westchester leading toward the Met Mile. And the Westchester draws a field of 11, including Code of Honor for Shug. There's Sacco again with Jovia. Mijos for Centennial and Jimmy. Jimmy Jerkins. Chad's got Training Monongahela for Michael Dubb. Endorsed for Godolphin and Bill Mott. The Fort Marcy drew 9, and you know, Chad with a quartet in here as well. So all of the Brown trainees that were really kind of stacked up at the end of the winter and were all pointing for things either in New York or at Keeneland. And so, you know, Chad getting them out and, you know, getting them on the racetrack to start the season. So four race skiing of graded stakes in New York and at Santa Anita before we go to the break. Dick Powell is going to join us first, by the way, and I think we've got a nice visit planned, for, maybe a surprise for Tony. John Parada is going to be visiting, too, and talk to John about a couple different things, including what's going on in Ireland. But I got a feeling John and Tony are going to bring up some names you might not have heard in a few years. John and I were talking. He was going through a litany of riders that he had the book for. I mean, John, John, to some degree, kind of the Broadway Danny Rose of Jock's agents. He, you know, he had this whole collection of, you know, of guys that were either, you know, going the wrong direction or going, you know, blowing the turn one way or another. And we'll talk to John together with Tony. Should be fun. When it comes to Santa Anita, let's give a look at the highlights there with the four, really the three big graded stakes. The Oaks, just five in here for the Oaks. And Kenny McPeak choosing to send Swiss Skydiver out to California. And so Swiss Skydiver in the Oaks, Merneith, Speech, Smiling Shirley, who was supplemented by Jeff Bondi, and Regal Beauty for Baffert. So Baffert with a pair in there. And the Derby came up with ultimately seven. There was a seventh horse. Michael McCarthy added Friars Road for the Warrens, drew the rail. And Rushy, who he told us, you know, last week was going to contest the Derby, Shooter Shoot, as expected, Peter Urton with Abel Cedillo, Ann O'Dor, Espinoza for Blaine Wright, Azul Coast for Baffert, and Umberto Rispoli, Honor AP, and Authentic, Shoulder to Shoulder. Honor AP and Authentic in the 6 and 7. Mike Smith on Honor AP for John Sheriffs, and Drayden Van Dyke on Authentic. And notable from yesterday on the Bloodstock news, Spendthrift acquiring the rights to Authentic after his racing days are done. So he's been added, they've been added to his ownership line. And then the Hollywood Gold Cup, a field of six, a six-pack here, Parsimony, Midcourt, Higher Power, Brownstorm, the Chilean five-year-old for Michael McCarthy, Improbable. And I talked to Baffert, I don't know, 2 weeks ago, and I thought that the Met, I guess the Met could still work, but the Hollywood Gold Cup, the mile and a quarter standard, Improbable and Drayden Van Dyke, and Tenfold for Ron Winchell. Mike Smith aboard. So those are the three highlights in terms of graded stakes. The Cinema, the Desert Code, the Crystal Water as well. Some Calbred action. There's also, quite notably, the Maiden event that's going to go as the sixth race. Saison makes the debut, the $2 million colt for Coolmore. Flavian Pratt aboard, and field is seven in here, and there will be a great deal, you would think, of focus and pressure on Saison in this spot. And Baffert invariably draws the rail, and that's a source of endless amusement. It just seems incredible how often that happens. And then finally, and then we'll head to the break and bring Dick in. The bottom of the hour is upon us already. The Aristides and the Dogwood on Saturday at Churchill. Look forward to talking to Marty McGee. The Aristides with a group of six. And plenty of familiar names in here, including Honest Mischief for Chad and Judd Mott, Wayne Catalano, Manny Wah, there's Heartwood, Bobby's Wicked One, Al Stahl, Miguel Mena, Seven Nation Army for Moquette, and Volatile. Volatile, the emergent Volatile for Phoenix and Three Chimneys, Steve Asmussen and Ricardo Santana. And then when it comes to the three-year-old fillies, the Dogwood, the Grade Three, they got a group of eight in here, including Edgeway for John Sadler, who, of course, burst on the scene for Castoronis over the winter at Oaklawn. Edgeway draws the open air outside box where the air is fresh and clear. The Marty McGee draw. there's some other nice races. Nice card again for a Saturday at Churchill. So we'll start to gear up. Certainly tomorrow we'll be particularly focused as we get to weekend preview. We're down toward the bottom of the hour. Got a lot to do. Should be a fun morning. And we'll continue with the week's musical theme that has really hit home with a lot of people. Got there is a lot of response and approval from listeners to kind of the quiet statement that the music has made during this tumultuous week. Things, though, frankly, seem much more sedate and much more, let's say, some of the high pressure scenario has dissipated. And yesterday afternoon and at the evening, a lot of peaceful protests and idea exchange and communication. Saw some really nice scenes. There's a lot of cities where things have been incredibly well managed between authorities and police and protesters. That in the Constitution, which some people may need to read again or for the first time, the lawful right to assembly. We're going to take a break. We come back. Dick Powell starts us off, but CSNY to get us going.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Summarize.
Dick Powell's going to join us, and we'll talk with Dick about the action at Hong Kong. And I didn't really think about it until yesterday, watching and realizing that, you know, it's really winding down. I mean, you got maybe 7 meetings. Dick will know. Dick will give us the details on how many meetings are left, and we'll probably also hear from Dick about his reaction to Belmont getting going. I think a lot of people this morning. Did you raise your hand? You if you've opened your Naira Bets account and found that 5% rebate this morning? Yeah, good job. That'll continue through Sunday. Yeah, next 4 days, so through the weekend. And by the way, speaking of the business, they did 10.9 million? 10.9, which Dave Greinich said was a record and for an opening day at Belmont. So, yeah, I think people obviously were... there's some pent-up eagerness for the return of... New York Racing, and here's the return to Dick Powell. Dick, good morning.
Steve, good morning. Lovely day in the Northeast.
That's for sure. We got lucky yesterday downstate with that that little passing shower, but apparently the thing went out and took a hard right into Long Island Sound and didn't just kind of skirted Elmont, and that was good because particularly with the turf, we're going to get fed a steady diet of turf racing here these 6 weeks.
Yeah, I would guess so. It screwed me up yesterday because the second race stayed on, but the only one MTO had come out. The three MTOs were still in, even when the first race was being run. So I'm like, I before the first race, I'm like, I can't play the pick five. I don't know, they're in, they're out, they're on the grass. So I just passed the pick five, and then I played the rest of the card and enjoyed it. A lot of fun, and
Now, and that's what that was a topic right away of some confusion too, because when people that hit the pick five and they ended up getting $160, they were expecting $400, and it took a second to sort of figure out what had happened. And anybody that had included the MTOs as a precautionary measure or however they structured it, ended up they ended up getting the winning post time favorite after they came out. So it kind of took the number. And actually, if it had paid the 400 would have been a pretty nice payoff, frankly, for that pick five sequence that was had a sequence of very logical winners.
Yeah, my problem in the second race is I thought the second race was way more wide open than it turned out to be. So if I really liked the favorite, I could throw the MTOs in knowing they're all going to go on the favorite if the race comes off the turf. But I misread that second race. I thought it was going to be wide open, and it was not. So I just passed the whole pick five, played the rest of the card, and enjoyed it. It was fun. It was kind of, it was kind of hard for me to get a little bit of a rhythm. I'm sure today will help. But it was just, 6 furlongs on the turf. Yeah, okay, they're on the inner turf. Okay. Just kind of jarring my memory. So I made it through the day, let's put it that way. And the 5% rebate was nice to have.
How about that? Right? That's people think, do the math, folks. I mean, this is a significant kickback to to players. You know, it's funny because Satisha's name has come up this week in discussion. I don't know if you know how much time you spend on Twitter, Dick, if any, but there was a discussion. I think the original post came from Ray Pollock, and it talked about the opportunity in the industry to have an industry-wide ADW, and I invoked Satish, who 10 years ago, and I pulled up the Tom Lamera Bloodhorse article that detailed it, and Satish had worked for a year at the highest levels trying to bring together all the ADW entities, and particularly the racetrack owned entities, and was literally on the doorstep of a comprehensive industry-wide ADW that was essentially going to combine TwinSpires and ExpressBet and the early some of the early efforts of NYRA and so forth, and there was marketing monies that was going to be generated out of it. There was going to be aftercare monies generated out of it. It was really a far-sighted concept. And it was funny because Robert Evans, I don't know if you know some of these details, Robert Evans had told Satish, if you can get Frank Stronach, we'll come along. And he figured they'd never get Frank. And I remember Satish telling that story about going to see Frank, having dinner, Frank making dinner, and Satish talked him into it. And then going back to Robert Evans saying, I got Frank. And he's like, okay. And then at the last minute, it was stopped. Ron Charles and Charlie Hayward were very much problematic in having the thing derailed. And it got me thinking about some of the ideas that Satish talked about, and one of them was an on-track concept to basically promote people coming to the racetrack, and he suggested taking everybody's losing tickets as they leave and having a way to get a rebate off of those, and even if it was 2%, 3%, 5%, giving them a voucher as they left, that would be good the next time they came to the racetrack. And it little things like this are really helpful. And I saw Lone Star has started a 12% pick five. The outreach and trying to help players this way is so key. And certainly you've worked very closely with high level players, Dick. I mean, you can talk about what this means in the landscape. I mean, to have the general public get a 5% rebate, a lot of people probably have never even seen a rebate like this.
No, and it goes automatically into your account. And what do you think the customer does with the rebate? And, I listened to a 2-hour podcast that Jonathan Kitchen has, and he had Duke Matisse on. And Duke went back, and when they moved to Vegas, and I went, well, they were betting at the Boardwalk, and the Boardwalk was being run by Kirk Brooks, and Kirk was the one who basically invented the rebate industry. I mean, he did it so well that the major casinos ganged up and passed some regulation or law that forbid the rebates, because the Boardwalk was killing the big sports books in town, sports and race books in town. So Kirk started it, and then he formed RGS out of that. So RGS, I still work for, is a major rebate shop. And this anti-rebate shop mentality that I've dealt with for like 16, 17 years, it's like, well, what do you think the customer does with the money, and why don't you think you can get that kind of rebate? There's nothing stopping you from getting that kind of rebate. Like, let's say we pay whatever. Well, just all you have to do is risk a lot of money. don't hold it against the people that do. So it's nice for the first week of Belmont, all the races. What I like is all the races, all the pools. It's not limited to any one thing. And it's going to hurt NYRA's bottom line this week. It's going to increase business, but it's going to have an effect. They have to pay these, you know, they have to pay it. But it's a great way of getting people interested in staying with your product. And if you supplement it with other promotions throughout the year, you can maintain those customers. I mean, the biggest problem everyone has in the ADW business is if I see one more sign up, get 100, bet 100, I can't take it anymore. You know, there's only so many people to sign up, and all you're doing is encouraging people to have 10 different accounts to get all the sign-up bonuses. You got to maintain customers. You got to retain customers. And you need to do that with various promotions like this week that NYRA Bets is doing to keep those customers. So I'm there. And it just makes all the sense in the world financially. Yes, you're cutting your margin down. And we're in an industry where margins are very thin. But long-range thinking, it's well worth doing. Especially under these circumstances, when you do have, you know, yesterday Belmont had the market to themselves almost. You know, Churchill, you know, resumes today, but they were kind of, they're certainly on their own on Fox Sports.
And the coverage, it's funny, you could really tell in the voices yesterday, and even this past weekend when Andy and Maggie Wolfendale and Rich Migliori came together, you could just, you know, you could feel the energy kind of ratcheted up in anticipation of getting back to Belmont. And, you know, there's a lot of momentum that seems to be being generated. The opening, having horses at the Oklahoma will kind of make people in and around Saratoga, I think, feel a little better. And, you know, some of the things we've been speculating on, in fact, Dave O'Rourke referencing that, you know, the first order of business at Saratoga this summer is to ideally get licensees and owners to be able to come, and then hopefully before the, you know, the end of the meet, some patrons. I mean, they're doing everything, you know, trying to position everything they can to make all of those things happen. And you got to take your victories, in small measure right now. But I don't know, Dick. I mean, I'm always hopeful and upbeat, but things feel pretty good, especially when I look at this list of the jurisdictions that are, you know, operational, with two more today in Ohio and three more over the weekend. Evangeline, Woodbine put together a great opening day card, and Louisiana Downs. So how about the New York Post putting Belmont on the back page.
That was remarkable. And inside, they had big color pictures, and Mike Vaccaro was their top columnist writing a story, and just, yeah, they it was like the old days. The old days, the New York Post was what you would read for horse racing. And, the Post and the News and the Newsday, they all competed against each other, so they all upped their game. And that was great to see. And I don't know how sustainable it is, but it was if you're coming out of the box, that's what you wanted. And we've gone from zero harness tracks running to just about everybody running, with the exception of Yonkers is going to be a problem. But Meadowlands begins tomorrow night. Most of the tracks in the Midwest are racing. The New York tracks had qualifiers, and they'll be racing this weekend or next week. And so that's all come back very, very fast. So it's kind of like we were in this this lockdown mentality, and just no progress, nothing moving forward. And now it's like things are really moving fast.
Well, we are also keeping our finger on the pulse of the action in Hong Kong. And Dick, I you know, this weekend and then this week, it kind of, you've been saying it, but I kind of realized now that we're in June, you know, the meets are, you know, they call them the meetings, the cards are dwindling.
Yeah, we have 10 more. We have this Saturday, Sunday morning, and then we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 7, 10. Yeah. Yeah, they go till July 15th, so they still have the two-a-week schedule. There's a couple of weeks where they skip a Happy Valley meet. There's 1 week where they go Sunday to Sunday, and then in the beginning of July, they go that schedule where they run Shot 10 on Wednesday. I don't know if that's all weather, but they're definitely doing that. So many races at Shot 10. Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 out of the 11, not counting this Sunday, are at Shot 10. So only 4 more Happy Valley cards at the city track. And we had a little bit of a trend there, Steve, where form was holding up very well. If favorites were doing well, we had 1 week there was 8 out of 20, and many single-digit odds horses, you know, 6 to 1, 8 to 1, stuff like that. Then suddenly, last week we only had 3 favorites out of 20 win, and yesterday we only had 1 favorite, the last race, and we had a 284 to 1 shot, a 52 to 1 shot, 2 other double-digit odd winners. So we're kind of back to the old Hong Kong with a little bit of chaos mixed into the normal 30% win rate. So it was kind of good to see, because it was starting to worry me. Like, geez, these form horses are doing pretty good. They're kind of hard to beat. And yesterday it kind of turned around. Actually, the last week and a half, it's turned around. And the jock race, Zach Purton is now 5 ahead of Joe Marrera. Zach had 3 winners that day, Happy Valley last week, where Joe was on suspension. Then he had 1 winner Sunday and 1 winner yesterday, where Joe missed that card with a suspension. Then he was shut out the last 2 race cards. So Zach is 128, Joe's 123. Karis Teton's doing very well with 76. The interesting thing is that the form guy breaks it out between Shot 10 Turf, Shot 10 All Weather, Happy Valley. Well, Happy Valley is where Zach is really getting his cushion. He has 53 wins at Happy Valley compared to Joe with 33. So that's a remarkable difference, and it's basically the same amount of rides. So Zach still not far enough ahead to have any breathing room, but it's better to be 5 ahead than 5 down. The trainers, Tony Cruz is still closing in. Ricky Yu's been ice cold. He's the leading trainer, but he's 0 for 24. Francis Liu had a pair of winners yesterday, so he still is right there. And we had a grade 3 stake race last Sunday. It was the Lion Rock Trophy Handicap, Group 3, and Kai Ying Star won it. They went the mile in 132.95, good solid time. So that was a nice win for him. And let's see. This coming Sunday, it's 12:45 post time Eastern, 9:45 post time Saturday night Pacific. I like this card. It's 10 turf races, no all weather, no stake races. They have big, big fields. Most of the races have 14, with the exception of the 1,200-meter races, which have 12 because the rail is out in the C position, which is farther out from the rail, so they don't have the width at the start down the backstretch. They do at the 1,400 and 1,600, but not the 1,200-meter races. But you're going to have full fields. all the usual handicap strategies will be in effect on Sunday. So it's kind of a fun card. Very wide open. Hopefully we can do better than last week. So I got 4 picks for you. Race 4. This is a class 5, 0 to 40. So these aren't the most formful type horses, but I like number 5, Little General. Danny Shum, another guy who's been ice cold, gets Joe Moreira. Hopefully Joe and Danny can wake up together and get hot in this race. His form is very good when he raced against this level. Three starts back at shot 10, when he dropped down, he ran well. Then he had an excuse. Then he moved up in class. Then he kind of raced evenly last time. So I think he can bounce back from a good post position. So that's race four, number five, Little General. Move on to race six. I like number seven, Carefree Prince. Draws post 12 with Alfred Chan, but he has a ton of speed. So going to seven furlongs, I think he has more than enough speed to get over. And you see the riders over there, Steve, when they're trying to get over, I mean, they're looking, they got the head turned, they're very cognizant of not jamming up anyone by just heading for the rail, and also they know the stewards are watching very closely. So I think Chan has more than enough natural speed to get over, but not use up a ton of energy, and I think if he does, I think his form is good enough to beat these. This is a class 4. And then race 7, number 1, War of Courage, is another declaration of war. We had one win yesterday in a sprint. This one's a sprint at 1,000 meters. Form is just solid as could be. Draws post 7, middle of the pack with Joe Moreira. I think he'll be tough. He has a lot of speed. And believe it or not, going 1,000 meters, there's not a ton of speed in this race. So I think Joe can get out in front but not use a lot of energy, so I have plenty left. Because even at 1,000 meters, when you're running that straightaway, you're using energy. You're trying to repulse challenges and things like that. So there's not a lot of breathing room like there might be going around a turn. And then the final one I'm going to throw in because I couldn't resist. Race 10 is a high-class, class 2, 80 to 100 rating. But the high weight is a 95 rated horse, so we're not going up to 100. So some of these horses haven't done that well because they've been running 105 to 80, so they're letting horses in that are really, really, really good. Well, this is more like a 95 to 80, so it's kind of condensed as far as the forms. So I like number 8, Transcendent. He's run well earlier in the meet. His form kind of tailed off a little bit there, but once again, I think that was against better company. He's down in weight. He gets in with 122 with Vincent Ho riding for Tony Cruz. And I think they can get the job done here going 7 furlongs from post 3. So race 4, number 5, race 6, number 7, race 7, number 5, and race 10, number 8. Then, if you really want to put yourself in quarantine lockdown and do nothing on Saturday but watch racing, we have the 2,000 guineas from Newmarket, among other big races, and the return of Pinatubo, who was weighted as a two-year-old higher than Franco was weighted as a two-year-old. He's weighted at 128. So he's 5 for 5. He returns to the races for Charlie Appleby. Everyone's expecting big things. Appleby's kind of, you know, he's not on the fence, but Appleby's not a braggart by any means, but he was quoted as saying he's trained. Everyone's asking him, has he trained on? Are we going to see the Pinatubo of last year? He says, because he doesn't give you the vibes at home, he's very hard to get a handle on, but I can say they look fantastic. I'm confident he's fit. He's one of these horses. He kind of surprised everyone how good he was. They started him out in an all-weather race, and he won that easily, and then they put him on turf. He won, and then he just kept winning, so they kept throwing him into deeper water, and he just kept thriving. So he begins his three-year-old career this Saturday morning from Newmarket. Then the rest of the day, you got Belmont Churchill, great card at Santa Anita. And then late at night, Japan has the Yasuda Kinnon. It's a mile, and the sensational Almond Eye will be back to the races. She went her last start easily. That was against females. She hardly ever runs against females. But after losing the race before, the Arima Kinnon at the end of the year, where she had a rough trip, they returned this year against Philly. She won easily, ran some, you know, outrageous times. And she's back on the mile against Indy Champ and some other really good horses. So she's tested severely. But when you look at Almanite's form, you got to dig pretty deep to find a horse who's ever run 1,600 meters at 130 and change, 2,000 meters, mile and a quarter, and 56 and change, and 2,400 meters around a mile and a half, and 220 and change. I mean, that's just like, I don't know. I don't know anyone who does speed figures in Japan, but those have to be the most outrageous times at those distances, especially all three distances for one filly to do it. So she's running Sunday morning in Japan, and I know some of the networks are picking up Japan racing now. So that's kind of the caboose on a sensational day of racing.
Nice and great. I mean, Almond Eye just it's just great to get now regular servings of her. What did Dick? You know, the one race we referenced it. I think actually, I don't know if it was Sid yesterday or Haskin referencing the Japanese Derby winner from last week. What you got anything to tell us about that?
Well, he's 5 for 5. He's by Deep Impact, and he's out of his second dam is Folklore, who Wayne Lucas had, and she was 2-year-old filly champion. So she has an American pedigree on the bottom. She has the Japanese pedigree, except Deep Impact is the son of Sunday Silence, so she kind of has, you know, American dirt top and bottom. He kind of has American dirt top and bottom. He won the Japanese Derby. It was just ridiculous. He sat maybe fifth, saved ground, found the seam and the stretch, and just handwritten to the wire. So they say they're going to go for the Japanese Triple Crown. I know it's a lot to ask, and the Japanese are willing to take on anybody, but probably not with a 3-year-old colt. But he looks like an Arc de Triomphe horse sometime in his career, and that's always been a big frustration in Japan that they've never won the Arc. They've tried many times, and they almost had it with Efevre. They thought they had it with Deep Impact, a Field of Seven, and he breaks
you
on top.
You've got mail.
He's a dead closer, and he winds up breaking on top in a paceless race and just got out-kicked. But he's just Cantrell. It's just spectacular, and I don't know if they'll have a race before the St. Ledger, but he's just, you watch him and just playing with horses. I'd love to see him go in against Alda. I don't know if he'll do it at the end of the year with the Japan Cup or anything like that, but he's the real deal.
Yeah, and if you didn't see it, I'll send out a link to the race, Contrail, and more action with Almond Eye to look forward to. I think so many people, Dick, have during the period where we were only looking at 3 and 4 racetracks, they really took a shine to the international scene, and we continue to and have for years tried to bring it in, and people are starting to get excited as Royal Ascot draws closer. We'll talk to Nick Luck and more as we get closer to what'll be a not just a different Ascot this year under the circumstances, but they've switched a bunch of things up. They've added some new races. They've moved some things that have been, institutions on the certain days of the week that over the years, and so I think it's going to be a Royal Ascot we're going to need to get used to.
Yeah, definitely. Everything's been put off, condensed. The days of maybe running in one guineas and then going to another country. The French already ran their 2,000 guineas last week, and the Godolphin horse won it. I just have a block with his name. It's Victor or something. I don't know. But he won actually pretty handily at Deauville because the races were switched from Longchamp. And that was a big break because Deauville is a straight mile. and Longchamp is around the turn. And Longchamp, if you draw outside, man, you are up against it. So that was not a factor. And he won very, very well. So the races are all coming, and they're all kind of condensed. So we're going to have big action every weekend, both overseas and in America. So, I mean, Santa Anita Derby next Saturday. that's kind of wild.
This Saturday.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. And it's just like they're all coming so fast, I'm going to have to really pay attention.
No, exactly. I mean, and it's not, as Haskin mentioned yesterday, you have to also keep your finger on the pulse of